Rich Strange, narrator.
This is from Cat and Mouse by Harold Coyle. Nathan found Christina curled up asleep on the sofa of his small apartment's combination living and dining room, lit only by the flickering image thrown off by the unwatched television. After taking a moment to kick off his boots and remove his uniform shirt, he made his way across the room toward her. Easing himself down onto the floor next to her, he leaned forward and lightly kissed her. Settling back on his heels, Nathan averted his eyes as he muttered apologetically, "Things didn't go as well as I had hoped today." When he made no effort to expand upon this simple, mournful statement, Christina reached out and laid a hand on his cheek. "Want to talk about it?" Pressing his finger to her lips, Nathan shook his head. "No." Then, looking into her eyes, he forced a smile. "I was hoping to make your last night here special." This is from Spiders by Scholastic Books. Spider webs are made of silk. Some webs look like old tissue paper draped on hedges. Others hang in messy tangles in the corner of your garage. But the best known is the orb web with its wonderful spiral of sticky threads. A large orb web may contain more than 100 feet of silk thread and can take about an hour to build. Silk is the secret of spider success. Spiders make several different types, which can be sticky, stretchy, strong, or fluffy. Each has a special use for making egg sacs, wrapping prey, building webs, or making drag lines that the spider trails as it walks along or jumps. Silk is made by the spinnerets on the spider's abdomen. Liquid threads come out of dozens of tiny nozzles and turn solid as the spider pulls them. Spider silk is an amazing substance. It can be stronger than steel and can stretch twice its own length. Best of all, it's recyclable. A spider can eat its silk when it is finished with it. This is from The Deer on a Bicycle, Excursions into the Writing of Humor by Patrick McManus. I wrote my first humor piece one evening in 1968. I had not intended to write a humor piece, but after completing an article on the use of telemetry in the study of wildlife, that is, hooking up wild creatures to radio transmitters in order to spy on their nocturnal affairs, I still had an hour left to go in my writing period. Not wishing to start another factual article that evening, I decided to use up the remaining hours simply by writing some nonsense. My head still filled with the telemetry piece, it occurred to me to extend that topic into absurdity, namely that sometime in the future, all wildlife would be hooked up with radio transmitters. The completed piece didn't strike me as particularly funny, but my writing program had yet another rule. Anything I wrote during my writing session had to be mailed out to market, so I dutifully mailed off the manuscript. One day, several weeks later, an envelope arrived from Field & Stream magazine. It contained a check for $300, along with a small brass band which immediately struck up a happy tune in celebration of my first sale of a humor piece. I made some quick calculations. Recently, I'd received $750 for a factual article that required months of research. The $300 humor piece required no research and only an hour of writing time. I mused. Let's see now. I write 2 hours a day, which means I can produce two $300 humor pieces every night, and I write 7 days a week. That works out to $600 a day, $4,200 a week. I'll be rich, rich. Okay, so it didn't quite work out that way. But that is how I became a writer of humor.